Good morning. Good morning. Welcome on this beautiful Sabbath day to our worship service. We're glad to see each one of you here, and we're glad to be back ourselves. We appreciate each one that's here. If you're visiting, it's good to see you, and we hope you join in with the service today. We're going to get to the favorite gospel songs, the gray book as we call it, and we're going to start with number 82, a good number that we all know.
Good to see everybody here today. We're thankful to have all of our visitors here. I'm glad that we have a lot of people here, and I'm thankful for what Sister Kendra did. We always want to follow the Lord. Does anybody else have something on your heart, a word of testimony or anything? Let's follow the Lord. I guess I should have done that earlier. And let's try to do what the Lord would have us to do today in this service. Appreciate everybody being here. As I said, we're glad to have our visitors with us today. We have a lot of our normal people that are usually here, they're in concert with Do-Re-Mi singing today at two different churches, and we want to pray for them. And my wish today was, or my prayer request today, I guess is what I should have said, for some of ours that are lost, they're going to get to hear Brother Junior Dickerson preach today. And I pray he says something that gets a hold to those lost ones that will be in that bunch. And it'll bring about a deep conviction, and they'll get saved. And let's pray for that. But that's why our crowd's down so much today. But I'm sure I'm thankful for y'all visitors coming. Y'all make us look a lot better. Thank you. We always do children's church. We give an opportunity for the kids to come up, and we speak to them personally for a little while. So we want to invite all the kids up here. I'm going to be doing children's church today. So everybody will come up here to this side today. Everybody that will. Thank y'all for coming up. We're glad to have y'all today. Thank y'all so much. Oh, you get to bring Luke today, huh?
Crashing the party.
That's good. All right, guys. Good to see everybody. Thankful to have our visitors with us. Thank you for coming. Okay, I'm going to ask you something. First of all, how many of you ever pray from time to time? Nobody prays? Yeah, I see some hands going up. Good, thank you. We always need to pray. Now, we got into a discussion here a few weeks ago, and the discussion was on what was something right to pray for, or was it wrong to pray for certain things? What do you think is a good thing to pray for? Don't everybody speak up at once now. Okay. Do you ever need help with a test at school? You don't ever need help with a test? I do, don't I? I always did. It's okay to ask the Lord for help with something like that. You know, if you're doing a job or something like that and you want to make it, you want to do your very best, it's all right to say, Lord, help me with this. It's a good thing for us to do this. Now, how about making a decision? You know, should I go do this or, Lord, should I do that? Do you know that? Y'all know who King David is in the Bible, don't you? King David, he was a great warrior. He could go out, he whooped a giant, didn't he? He beat him badly, didn't he? But you know, when he would go into battle, you know what he would always do? Lord, should I go into this battle or should I stay back? And the Lord would tell him, now, you go on into the battle, I'm going to give you the victory. Or there was a time or two when the Lord said, no, don't go up. You stay back. You wait till I tell you at a certain time. You see, the Lord helps us with things like that. Use that tool to ask God. You know what I ask the Lord to help me with probably about as much as anything? And that's when I'm getting in that pulpit. When I start to study for a sermon, you know, a lot of people think preachers just pull a sermon out of their hat, you might as to say, or just kind of pull it out of the woodwork, or maybe I find it on the internet. No. You know what I do? I say, Lord, what do you have me to preach? You know, there's a lot of times I ask the Lord when I'm talking to even some of y'all, Lord, what do I need to say? You know, I go to places a lot of times and I see people that are distraught, maybe real sad or something. Lord, what can I do or what can I say to make them feel better? You know, He's always good. He's good to help me in places like that, in times like that. You know, sometimes when I start to pray, and I try to do this every time, one of the things I'll do is when I start to pray is, Lord, will you give me the words you want to hear out of my mouth or out of my mind? You see, these kinds of things are things that you can pray for. And you can ask the Lord for help, whether it's with a test or maybe with a bully at school or with some other things. Lord, show me how to handle these things. And He'll help you, is what He'll do. Okay, I didn't want to keep you too long. As Brother Sam, I know your schedules. So, thank y'all for coming up with us today. I'll turn you loose. You didn't want to go back to mamas and daddies? Thank y'all for coming up. Give me five. I'm thankful for each and every one of our young ones that comes up and for this children's church. I hope that they listen to us when it comes to, especially in this case here. A lot of times we don't know what to ask for when we pray. We don't know what to say in our prayers. But God is always faithful. That scripture, isn't it? He's always faithful to help us in those times of need. It's good to see each and every one with us today. We had a lot of prayer requests in our services this morning. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer here in just a minute. Let me make one quick announcement. If you go back into our kitchen area, you'll notice that it's kind of tumbled a little bit. We have a problem. We've found a leak, and it's going to take some adjustments, I guess you'd say. The company will be here Monday to start tearing out walls to find the leak, where it's coming from. And so there may be a little bit of disturbance even for Wednesday night and for next Sunday's service. Hopefully it'll get fixed very quickly, and I believe it will be. But just endure our problems, I guess is what I'll say. You will just have to endure with those things. For the men's bathroom, right now it's still open. It may not be in the coming days. Remember that we have this bathroom over here that can be used for the gentlemen. And there's also one in the office there that people can use if necessary. We just wanted to make that announcement if there happened to be a problem. But we do have a fairly significant leak that has caused some damage. And so it's best to get it fixed as quickly as possible. And that's what we're working at. Appreciate. Yes. And we usually have a meal on Wednesday night. Due to the kitchen being tore apart, we will not have a meal Wednesday night. We'll just have our Bible study at 6:30. So for those that might leave early, before I make announcements at the end of service, I wanted you to know about that. Now then, let's get back to our spiritual business. We want to go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Does anybody have a prayer request upon your heart this morning? Yes. Let's do remember Preacher Benji Blackwell. He's had heart surgery a month ago and still having a lot of problems, a lot of side effects, I guess, from his heart surgery. He's pastor at Lafayette, and every time that I hear something from him, he's wanting to get back in the pulpit, but he's just not able. So do remember this preacher brother. Somebody else. Let's do remember Sister Mona. She was in the hospital the first of the week. She's better out of the hospital, but the medicine they're giving her is causing a lot of upset stomach, and we do need to remember her. Elizabeth's had problems too, so let's remember this family in our prayers. Somebody else. Appreciate each and every one being here today. Again, we're glad to have our visitors here. I hope and pray that the Lord will bless today in this service. Brother Timothy, I feel like you are to lead us in prayer, please.
All right. Thank you. For our last number, let's do number 13. He touched me. I can remember setting up on the pews up there at Caney Fork when he first let me know that he was there. Mm-hmm. I'd been hearing the preachers preach about God. I'd heard my parents and others talk about feeling God, but until that moment when he let me know that he was there and I was lost. And I hadn't been the same since. Mm-hmm. And I finally sought him and won the victory when I was 12. And he's never left. Listen to the words of this right here. He touched me, number 13.
Thank you.
Y'all notice Brother Sam held his hand up on no, wanting you to hold that note. But my question is, do you know the Lord touched you today? Amen. Hold your hand up. That's good. It's good for us to lift up a holy hand unto the Lord in praise. I know a lot of people frown on that, but Scripture tells us to lift up our hands unto the Lord. I find where that, I believe Solomon it was, that when he prayed, he held both hands up. And he prayed like that. I'm not asking for us to do anything that's ungodly or different from what we're used to doing. But sometimes it's good for us just to praise the Lord. Anybody got anything on your heart? It's always good for us to be reminded that we are saved by God's grace. It's proper for us to give glory to God for that. And I'm thankful that we do that. I'm thankful that we have visitors with us today. We appreciate each and every one of y'all coming to our service today. I hope you get a blessing from God today. I pray for the ones in our midst that might not be saved by the grace of God. I hope and pray that if there's one in our midst that's not saved today, I hope the Lord touches their heart in such a way that they won't be able to stand another second without Him, and they'll start seeking Him out and start praying to where that they would get saved. I do believe that salvation comes at the end of a request. I do. And that's what prayer is. It is talking with God. It is requesting of God the things that we desire and need. And I believe in that. And I believe that salvation comes that way. A lot of people differ with me about that, but I think you can find it in the Scriptures where men and women made a request of God and He answered their prayer. Anybody got a word or anything on your heart this morning? If not, turn to the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews. The 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Last week I read out of Exodus, almost the front of the Bible. This week we're going back towards the other end of the Bible. The 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews is where we're taking our reading lesson today. I hope that you will pray that the Lord will use this message to His honor and glory today. I hope it'll be good for our souls, for our work as God's people. Yes, we as God's people have a work to do. A lot of times I hear it said a lot of times that many people believe that God saved them just to save them. Actually, no. He saved you to do a work for Him is what He did. So let's be about God's business in this service. If I'm preaching and you're here and you're lost and you need to be saved, you start seeking the Lord. We have these benches set aside up here for people to come and be saved. They're always available to people to come and be saved. It's not only available for those that needs to be saved, it's available to those that are saved to come and pray there also. It's a set aside place that you can do that. But you can be saved and you can pray in your seat. But you need to do what the Lord instructs you to do. If He says go, you better go. So you do that today. In the 12th chapter of Hebrews, we're going to give you one verse. And it's the first one. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. In this reading lesson this morning. This is not actually going to be our text. We're probably going to refer to it a little bit along. But in this reading lesson here, it talks first about all about a cloud of witnesses. We are encompassed about by a crowd of witnesses, is a cloud of witnesses, meaning they're all about us is what they are. Most of the time, and I've actually preached on that cloud of witnesses being the people of this, of the Word of God, of the Bible themselves. And they are truly our witnesses today as to God's goodness, of His mercy, and of His saving power. Also of God's wrath upon individuals who obey not God in truth. Now, in this, we also find that it tells us to lay aside every weight and the sin which does easily beset us. Now, this sin that besets us, is anybody here today without sin? I don't see any show of hands. I didn't ask for it, but I didn't see anybody. No, do this. I don't have any sin. I didn't see anybody do that, and that's fine. We all have sin in our lives. I'm talking about saved individuals too here. Not just those that are sinners in the eyes of God. I'm talking about the ones that are saved that are still encompassed by the trials and tribulations of life that has the sins of life that goes into their minds. Maybe it's in their eyes that they look upon an individual and lust after them. Or maybe it's just something that they desire in some way or another. Maybe it's something like telling a lie. Maybe it's something very minor in many ways. But we all have these kinds of sins. But what the writer here in the of Hebrews, he said, let us lay aside those sins which beset us. In other words, they hammer on us. They control us many times. We all have those kinds of sins, those kinds of temptations that are on us. Now, to get our thought today, I want you to go over to 1 Peter, and the third chapter is where we're going to get our thought today. And in this verse that we're going to bring to you, Brother Tom taught on this here a few weeks ago in our Sunday school class and did a good job, but I'm going to bring out some points today and use this for a thought. In the first verse again, it says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of their wives today. Our actual thought today is going to be that they may be one, and that's it, that they may be one. But I want you to notice what he says, that they may be one by the conversation of their wives. Now, when we read this verse, we tend to think, well, he's talking to the women of the church and women of that had husbands that were sinners in the eyes of God. Yeah, that's who he was actually speaking to. But gentlemen, boys and girls that are saved today, I want you to know all of this pertains to you also. In this very moment, yes, Peter was talking to the wives, but it has to do with you also today. It is our purpose here upon this earth as saved individuals to win people unto the Lord. We as God's people today, we have the privilege, notice I said privilege, of telling individuals about our salvation. We have the privilege of telling people about God. We have the privilege of telling people about a Savior who died on a cross, carrying our sins with him. And then when he died on the cross, he was buried, and then on the third day, he arose again out of the grave. He came back to life. He overcame death, hell, and the grave that we might have an opportunity to be saved. It's what we have the privilege of today. All of this is for the purpose that we might win souls unto the Lord. Now, I want you to notice here that it says he talks about, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not, talking about the husband or that unsaved individual that is there, they have not obeyed the gospel. If they have never trusted in the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they have not obeyed that gospel that tells them to believe in the work that God sent Jesus to do. And because they have not obeyed, it is important for us that are saved to let them know about these things. But I want you to notice another part of this verse that you may have not noticed before. That it says, if any obey not the word, they also may without the word. Now, what does that mean? Without the word. That means the preaching. Now, I realize the scripture says, by the foolishness of preaching, people will be saved. And that's paraphrasing it right there, but that's what it's talking about. I realize that today. I know people today that believes that no person can get saved unless, and I'm going to take the very narrow way. There's people out there that'll take the actual narrow way of thinking, and they'll say unless a Baptist preacher preaches the gospel to them, they can't be saved. That's not scriptural. That's not scriptural when they make a statement like that. But he says here that they may without the word be one. How? How are these individuals going to be one if they're sinners in the sight of God? And these women in this case here, how are they going to win their husbands over? Notice the last part. By the conversation of the wives. By the conversation of the wives. Just the talk, in other words. Does that mean that she was constantly talking about Jesus? Does that mean she was constantly telling him about her salvation? Yeah, it may have been in some cases. But the biggest point that I want to bring out to you today is all of us that are saved have a responsibility to win individuals over to the Lord by our conversation. In the second verse, it says, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Now that word chaste there means a pure conversation. In other words, if you're out here and you're talking about the football game, Tennessee playing football, the Titans or whatever, if you're talking about a basketball game or a baseball game, and you know me, I love those games, but the fact of the matter is, those things will not win a soul over to the Lord. Yeah, you can use them to make a friend out of an individual that will get them to start to listen to you. But the end result should be a conversation that would let them know about your salvation. That would let them know about your Jesus is what it's going to do. That's where that we as God's people today, we are to allow this Spirit of God to dwell in us that we may win souls unto the Lord. Now, the thought that I want to bring to your mind is, again, and I hadn't thought about this, but out of our sermon last Sunday, when that the children of Israel got to the promised land the first time, and they got up there at the border, They went and they spied it out, and they said, yeah, it's a wonderful land, but we can't win them. There are giants over there. There's people that are too big. They're too great for us. I want to remind you today that nobody is too great for you to speak to win to the Lord. If I had the opportunity to talk to the President of the United States, I would love to have the opportunity just to ask him about his soul. I would. I'd love to ask him about his soul. I'm not usually a good one to do that, but every once in a while, the Lord will give me strength to talk not to the president, not to the governor, not to other individuals, but just somebody, what we would say, random. I get the opportunity, the Lord will bless me and will allow me to ask them, do you know the Lord? Have you been saved? And if they say, no, I don't, then we start a conversation that will start them hopefully and prayerfully toward the Lord. Not talking about day-to-day things, the weather or rain or whatever it might be, but talking about God in our conversation. I want to go back into that third chapter. Drop down to the 4th verse, and he's still talking about the women here, but he's, let me go to the third verse. He said, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaited of hair and wearing of gold and putting on apparel. Now, there's people years ago, they took in mind that women were not to plaid their hair, they were not to wear jewelry, and not to wear fancy clothes into the house of God or even in other things. But that's not what he's talking about. He's saying, let this inward man be the one. See verse 4. But let it be the hidden man of the heart. The inward man is what he's saying. In that which is not corruptible. He said, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. He said, which is in the sight of God a great prize. You know what God is looking for? He's not looking to see how well I'm dressed. Somebody bragged on me this morning, said I always look spiffy, I think was the word they used. I think y'all appreciate that. My wife makes sure that I look good, and I'm thankful that. She does the best with what she's got to work with. I'll say it that way. But the thing that I want you to remember here today, it's not about what I wear. It's not about what you wear. It's the inward man that needs to come out. The inward man of that heart that needs to come out in our conversations today. How will it have an effect on individuals? It'll burn in their hearts is what it'll do. By our chaste conversation that we have today. I want to go back over to the 2nd chapter of 1 Peter for a little bit, if you give me opportunity. And let's look at the 11th verse. He said, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain means to put it away from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Now, I told you, I am a Tennessee fan. It's just what I do. They serve one to you the same way. I like to watch football. I like watching basketball games. I like to watch those things that are somewhat worldly, but there comes a time when I need to put those things aside. You know, there's a lot of times that I'm going to look at it this way. I would like to stay home and watch the game, but the actual fact of the matter is I need to be about God's business. There's times that I enjoy working out there on my farm. And I enjoy working and doing the things that I need to do on the farm. But there's times that I need to leave that stuff behind. I need to abstain from the things of the world. For what profit are they for those that I need to win to the Lord? I'm asking you today, what can you do to win individuals over to the Lord? First of all, let's abstain from the sins that so easily beset us. It's what the scripture tells us. But he says here in this 11th verse, he said, or 12th verse, having your conversations, back to conversation, honest among the Gentiles. Now the idea here was the Hebrews were the people of God. They were the ones that they thought they were godly people. All the Gentiles, that's the same thing as saying a bunch of sinners out there. If we have in our minds today that these sinners that are out here, down here on the other street here, or maybe they're walking up and down this street here, if we have it in our minds that we can't invite them into the house of the Lord, or even invite them to come and seek the Lord, we have got our minds in the wrong places. Am I wrong? He said, having your conversations honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers. In other words, they are saying within them, they speak against you and they think you're evil. Yeah, I've been at that place where individuals thought that because I talked about God, well, you're a religious fanatic. You're a person that just believes in God and does things that is all about Him. I hope I am. I know I'm not, but I hope I am. What he says here, he says, whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they call shall behold, glorify you in the day, glorify God, excuse me, in the day of the visitation. Remember what it said over here in the second verse? While they behold your chaste conversation, coupled with fear, and what he said in the first verse, be won by the conversation. That's what he's talking about here. That they may be won by that conversation. There was a lady that I grew up around, Miss Ellie Lowell. She stood about this high. But if you walked in her house and she had never saw you before, you could deliver her a refrigerator or a TV or something like that. You could walk in trying to sell her insurance and she'd talk to you about the Lord is what she would do. How many of us do that today? Have you ever done it? I'm going to ask you a question. Have you ever done it? I've done it some, yes. Not as much as I should have. But you get those individuals who walk into your house. They're trying to sell you something. They're trying to tell you something. Talk to them about God. Let your conversation win them over. In the 13th verse, he said, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Now, what he's talking about ordinances is the laws of the land. You may not got to obey the laws of the land. You may not got to run the speed limit instead of 50 miles over. I can't do that. That's one of the simple ones, isn't it, that we have in mind. You mean I've got to hold it down to 35 and instead of running 55? Why did he put that in there? I want you to think about something today. The very thing we think doesn't hurt, many individuals stumble at. At our conversations, at the words that we say, many people will trip over, in other words. Oh, I thought you was a Christian. I thought you went down there to that church And I thought you was much better than that. And you said that word? You talked about that woman? You talked about that man in such a way? Well, I know everybody else does it. But I want you to remember what he said over here, that it may glorify God in the day of visitation. What is the day of visitation? Is it the end of time? Well, that's one time it is. But in that individual's life, there is opportunities for each and every one of them to get saved. There's opportunities out there. Maybe one of you comes in and you just speak a word to them about the Lord and about His saving grace and how you got saved. Then maybe a day or so later, maybe the Lord impresses somebody else to speak to them, tells them a similar story, and they put the two together and they think, I wonder if there's something to that story of salvation. And then maybe the Lord waters it a little bit more with another individual. And it just keeps working in that. Remember what he said to the wives who had husbands that were sinners? What did he say? He said that your conversation may win them. How's it going to win them? Go back to our reading lesson. Wherefore sin, we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. You know, one of our biggest problems today is in our minds as God's people, church members, you know what one of our biggest problems is? Well, Brother Randall will do it. No, Brother Stewart will do it. Now, Sister Wendy can handle that better than I can. Sister Carolyn back there, she can do it much better than I can. Maybe it's Sister Barbara's job. Maybe it's Brother Adam's job. No, it's my job to do it. I'm not talking about me, I'm talking about you. We need to take it. It's my job that God has impressed me to talk to these individuals about it, that they might be won by the words, by our conversation. They may have not ever gotten to get into a house of God to hear a loudmouth preacher like me. They may have never heard something like that. If they did, they might have turned it off. But they'll listen to you. They will listen to you. He said, we look at it as a cloud of witnesses. That's everybody else. He said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us. Now bear with me. I'm going to read this and I'll add in just a little bit and I'm going to close out with this, Brother Sam. Go to Colossians, the second chapter. Colossians, the second chapter is where I want you to go to. You know, I talked about being a stumbling block sometimes. You know, when I was in school, you know, one of my favorite things to do is, I've told you before, I was the most aggravating person I could be. How many of you did this number? Somebody walking down through there, wasn't half paying attention, you stuck your foot out and tripped them? Y'all ever do that? You know, walking up behind somebody, they was walking along just merrily talking, and you kick their foot over behind them, they fall face first. You're a stumbling block to them, right? Caused them to fall flat on their face. Spiritually, what causes them to do that, and I'm not talking about kicking their foot or sticking your foot out to trip them. What causes individuals to do that? Third chapter of Colossians, 8th verse. That's where we're starting. It's quite a bit of reading here, and I'll get through this as fast as I can. He says, but now ye also put off these. Put these things off. Anger. Know what anger is, ain't it? Oh, I got mad yesterday. Yes, I did. Then he said, wrath. That's taking anger. Father is what it is. He said, put these things off. Malice. He said, that's just being bad. Badness is what it's actually talking about. He said, blaspheming. You know, that cursing that we hear individuals to do, we consider that blaspheming God is what we do. When they take the name of the Lord in vain is what we talk about. But did you actually know that blasphemy is also just pure disobedience to God? Yes, it is. I mean, when the Lord says go and we don't, when he says speak and we don't, that's disobedience to God, and that's blasphemy unto him. How about filthy communication? You ever tell a dirty joke? You ever say a word that's not clean? You ever do that? You know, a lot of people will stumble over that. I've told you before, years ago, I had a deacon I thought the world of at Mount Tabor. And one day we got run in by a rainstorm inside. And we were standing there, and that deacon told a joke that was... And I heard him, and I went... You ever been guilty of doing that part? Not telling the joke, but you took offense at what somebody told. Lie not one to another. Oh, we never lie. What do they call us Baptists? Lying Baptists? Shouldn't be that way, should it? He said that ye may have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on a new man. In other words, you should lay aside all of those things that are evil in your life, and you take that old man and put him in the closet, just like you take off a dirty coat and you put it in the hamper that it might be cleaned up, is what you need to do. He said, now you put on the new man. That's not easy to do, is it? If you're like me and you're just a little more plumper than you usually are, you've got pairs of pants and clothes, shirts that when you put on, especially when they come out of the dryer, they're a little tighter than they used to be, you know, than they were before. And you start trying to work your way into them. That's what it takes for us as God's people to make an effort to put those old things away and put on you something new. Put on something that God wants us to have. I'm not talking about getting saved again. I'm talking about acting like you're saved, appearing like you're a saved individual, appearing like you're the child of the King, appearing like you're God's favorite child. Let me get on through this. Let's drop down to verse 12 to save time. But on, now he says, put on, therefore. Remember I said, you took off the old man. You've took off those things that are bad. Now it's time to put on good clothes. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God. That means selected. You've been selected of God to work for him. You've been selected of God to be saved by his grace. You've been selected by God to do a work for him. Now, he says, you're elect of God. He said, put on therefore holy and beloved. Now, we like to read this all together. Holy and beloved, bowels of mercy. Make that all one thing. But it's holy and beloved means one thing first. He wants us to be holy, to be like him. He loves. How many of you love when your children act right? When somebody brags about your children, what do you do? Yeah, that's my son. That's my daughter. Yeah, that's her. She's pretty, ain't she? Yeah. Put therefore on holy and beloved bowels of mercy. In other words, pity. coming from deep in the heart. He said, kindness. It's appointed unto us to be kind one to another. Humbleness, being one that the scripture talks about being modest in your things. Not the modesty as far as your clothes. We ought to be modest in our clothes, not revealing other things, but modest in our actions. Not bringing out vain glory to ourselves, but giving all glory and honor to God is what he's talking about. He said, meekness, in other words, being gentle, long-suffering. In long-suffering, what it means for us to do is to suffer long with those things in our life that is not suitable around us. And what I mean is sometimes we suffer long time with things that hurt our feelings. Forbearing goes very close to that. Sometimes we just put up with individuals, don't we? He said, and forgiving one another. That's a hard one, isn't it? He says, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Ooh, do I really have to forgive them? Really? He did that to me. Really, Lord? I got to forgive them? Yeah. And above all these things, now remember, you're putting this on. How many of you got dressed this morning? Maybe you started, us men, we start out with our socks. Maybe our pants or shirts next. We finally come around. Not many of you is doing that now, but last thing I put on this morning was this coat. Ties it all together, didn't it? Put on charity. You see, that'll put it all together. And let the peace of God rule in your heart. Let that peace of God's salvation, let it rule. Don't let sin rule in your heart. He said, to which also ye are called in one body to be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms. Hey, sing along with us. Hymns, singing the old hymns that we have, the spiritual songs that blesses your hearts, that blesses other individuals. You want to get to somebody that's a sinner, start talking or singing about God, and it'll get to them. It will. Singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do it to your own praise. That's not what it said, did it? Whatsoever you do, do it to the praise of Jesus, of our Lord and Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. If I do anything good, I want God to get the glory. If I do anything wrong, you blame me. Because he didn't do it. Now, our thought today is that they may be one. Now, the question is, who can you win? Who? Maybe it's your child. Maybe it's a friend. It might be your spouse. It might be another family member. Who can you win? Let's stand while we sing. If you're here today and you're lost, come and seek God. If you need to do something for God today, you do what God puts upon your heart. Don't do it for your own glory. Do it for God's glory today in this service. While we stand and sing, everybody, let's serve God today as we should.
Number 229. 229.